Daily Declaring God's Glory, an exposition of Psalm 103. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Wednesday evening, October the 26th, 2016.
It is without question an understatement to say that we live a difficult life. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world that is cursed by sin, a world that is affected by the ravages and the forces of nature and disease. Both of those, by the way, are courtesy of the fall. But also ravaged by the sinful actions of men toward one another. It's not just what's happened because of the fall as far as the fact that sin and disease entered the world, but we inflict further pain in the way that we treat one another. And no one is exempt from that. Being a child of God doesn't get you out of that, doesn't remove you from that. In fact, we experience heartache, difficulty every day. If you're not in some kind of heartache or difficulty right this moment, cheer up. It's just around the corner. I mean, that's just life in this world. It's going to happen. Don't buy that argument that Christians are immune from that, or that Christians really don't struggle with depression and get discouraged, because we most certainly do. Because on top of just those things I've mentioned that are just natural to all men living in a fallen world, we have to add to that, the Scripture tells us we have an enemy. And he's described as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And then add to that the fact that as the people of God, we are daily bombarded with the reminders of our own sin, the wickedness of our own lives. And as you grow in holiness, as you grow in righteousness, as you increase in your faith and your understanding, that only gets worse. I mean, the Apostle Paul, at the end of his life, is talking about himself as the chief of sinners. We're weighed down by the fact that we are sinners. We are burdened by the fact that we violate God's law, that we stand in opposition to Him. If we're growing as Christians and we're becoming even more aware and realize things that are sinful that we didn't consider to be sinful before, you get to a point as a child of God that you say, okay, I know God loves me, but I'm wondering if He likes me. I'm wondering, given who I am, given what I do, does He like me? What kind of relationship can I have? Too often, then we come to church seeking hope, and it only adds to our disappointment and heartache. Come to church and you turn on the radio or turn on the television to get a word of encouragement from some Christian source, and what you find is something that only deepens your despair, because you find something about living the victorious life and you say, well, I'm not there. Or you find some message on how to walk in victory every day and you say, well, that's not me, that's not my experience. The need is for the gospel every day. The real need in the heart of the child of God is that we need the gospel. We need the glory of what God has done for us in the person of Christ. And as Jerry Bridges referred to it, Christians need the gospel preached to them every day. We need to be reminded every day of what God has accomplished for us, what God has given to us, what He has supplied for us in the gospel. So that's what we're going to look at tonight in Psalm 103, because that's what's happening. David is reminding himself of the goodness and the grace of God. Throughout the psalm, he's talking and preaching to himself. He's reminding himself of all that is true because of God's working. He's reminding himself of God's forgiveness, God's grace, God's mercy, and God's glory. Those are things that you and I need to be reminded of every single day. Now, Psalm 103 has been the basis for several great hymns. A couple of them, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation. Another, Count Your Blessing, that gospel song. So believers have turned to this for ages, looking and finding encouragement and strength. As we walk through, we're going to find David cataloging the goodness of God, enumerating the blessings in order to safeguard his own heart. Old Testament Israel got in trouble every time they took God's goodness for granted. Whenever they got comfortable, they forgot God, and we need to guard against the same malady. If we get comfortable in our faith, if we get comfortable in where we are, we get to thinking about other things, and before long, we find ourselves falling into some great sin. This is why we need to, every day to take some time aside to preach the gospel to ourselves, to be reminded of the riches of God that are ours in Christ. That's what David's doing. You remember in the Old Testament, Israel was told in their wanderings, whenever something good happened, whenever God did something great, you remember they were told, get some rocks and pile them up here. Which seems like a really strange thing to do until we hear the biblical instruction. Now, the reason you do that in the years to come, when you and your family pass this way and one of your children say, what's with the pile of rocks over there? You remind them of the great thing God did in that place. It's what David's doing in the psalm. He's piling rocks. He's visibly thinking about, he's consciously considering the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God. It's something that we would do well to imitate. In times of frustration, difficulty, and defeat, believers need daily reminders of the goodness and grace of God. Three things I want to point out in the passage. First of all, in verse 1 down through verse 3, believers need to be reminded daily of God's forgiveness and His gracious provision. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Blessed. Praise. Bless the Lord. Bless the covenant God. Bless the God I'm in relationship with, the God I'm in covenant with. Bless Him. Praise Him. All my soul, with all that is within me, with my whole being. It refers to an intensive, intentional act. Not something you just happen to do. Again, it's not one of those things you fall into. It's one of those things you determine to do. And by the way David expresses it is as a command. So you must do this. So you must bless the name of the Lord. You must praise His name. You must give glory and honor. It is not a passive thing. It's not thoughtless. It is intentional. It is thoughtful. It is intensive worship. All that is within me. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. It's not a passive thing. It's a clear indictment of a passionless, mindless worship. It's the same thing when you and I gather on Sunday morning to worship. We're not to do it passively. It isn't a matter that somebody's got to prime the pump and get me going. I'm supposed to come as a child of God with a mindset, with an intent on engaging and worshiping and blessing and praising Him. It's something I am intent on doing. It is something I spoke to myself on the way. I got myself ready that morning. Soul, go and bless the Lord. It's something that I give myself to. It's very intentional. Too often we forget the Lord's benefit. Forget not all His benefits. Deuteronomy 8, 10 through 14. And ye shall eat and be full, and shall bless the Lord your God for the good land He has given to you. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His rules and statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Again, don't be sidetracked. Don't say, well, things are better now and I don't have to give so much attention to this. I don't have to think about it quite as much. I'm not seeking something. I back off. I relax. He's saying you can't do that. You have to go every day. Soul, bless the Lord. Soul, praise the Lord. David gives four things that we need to be remindful of. The first one's in verse 3. He forgives all your iniquities. Daily we need to remind ourselves he's forgiven our sin. And not some of them, but all of them. All of our iniquities, all of our straying, all of our falling short of the glory of God, all of our failing to keep his word, all of our sinfulness, he has forgiven in Christ. Daily, I need to be reminded of that. Daily, I need to give thought to that. Where would we be without forgiveness? Where would we be without the work of the cross? He has forgiven all our iniquities. And to what extent has God forgiven our sin? Well, drop down to verse 12. As far as east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. How far is the east from the west? It's infinite. If I start heading east, I can just keep heading east forever, and I'm still heading east. And the psalmist says, that's how far God's removed our sin from us. It's not God who dangles our sin before us to condemn us. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Daily, we preach the gospel by reminding ourselves, what is it Christ accomplished on the cross? What is it he did when he died? What did he do when he shed his blood? He bore the burden, the wrath, the judgment of God for my sin, and it's gone because of Christ. Every day I need to be reminded of it, because every day I do something stupid. Every day I do something that brings to mind my sinful heart, my wicked heart, my rebellion, and I need to be reminded God has removed my sin in Christ. I need that reminder every day. Roy Clemens said, you can't look east and west. To look at one, you must turn your back on the other. It's a good word. And thinking about that in terms of God's taking our sin from us. When God looks at us in Christ, he does not see our sin, because it's been removed, it's been blotted out. It's been taken care of in Christ. That's why Paul, along with the psalmist, says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Every day, I need a reminder. I need a reminder of God's love and the graciousness of his love in the forgiveness of my sin. But also note in verse 3, he's healed all your diseases. Now, it makes some Baptist folk uncomfortable. In fact, if we don't skip over that part altogether, we say, well, that's, of course, talking about spiritual health. He heals us by removing our sin. Well, I certainly believe it is part of what God accomplished for us in the cross. I don't think that's what he's talking about in this context. I don't think there's a need to spiritualize it. I think David means he has healed all our diseases. I may not experience that full healing here, but ultimately I will. I don't care what ails you. As a child of God, one day you will be healed of it. You may suffer with it here. And it may take your physical life, but in the moment it does, you are gloriously healed and you stand before God complete and free forevermore. Amen. And that's because of what God has done for us in Christ. So whether it comes through taking medication or whether it comes through a surgery prescribed by my doctor, all healing is God's gift. All healing comes from His hand. And I want to rejoice in that. I want to be grateful for the kindness of God, not just in my spiritual health and well-being, but in my physical life as well. God is the healer of the body and of the soul. Therefore, whatever health we enjoy, it's a gift of God's grace. Third, He has redeemed our lives from the pit and crowns us with steadfast love and mercy. Redeemed your life from the pit, verse 4, who crowns you with love and mercy. Steadfast, that's covenant love. In place of despair, in place of the grave, in the place of Sheol, the pit, He has crowned you with steadfast love and mercy. And He satisfies us with good things in verse 5. Daily, we need to be reminded of the forgiveness of God and of His gracious provision for us. When things go wrong, when we experience heartache, we lose perspective. Everything's out of balance, and all we can see is the pain and the ugliness and the heartache of our lives. And you got to come out from under that. How do you come out from under it? By preaching the gospel to yourself, reminding yourself of the goodness, the grace, the mercy, and the kindness of God. Remember God's forgiveness and His gracious provision. Second, starting in verse 6, going all the way down through verse 18, we need to daily relish God's great mercy. David then goes on to catalog God's work on our behalf, God's grace, His mercy extended to us, beginning at verse 6. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses and His acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind passes over and it's gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember to do His commandments. God's work toward us includes righteousness and justice for the oppressed in verse 6. He's slow to anger and abounding in love in verse 8. He does not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever, verse 9. He does not treat us as our sin deserves or repay us according to our iniquities, verse 10. Rather, His love is from everlasting to everlasting to those who fear Him. In other words, God is gracious. God is merciful. And every day I need to be reminded of that. I especially need to be reminded of that when I am beating myself up because of my sin and my weakness and my failure. Now hear me, I'm not talking about having an excuse. I'm certainly not saying, well, we all sin and don't worry about it. It's no big deal. God's taking care of that. It's all under the blood. I'm not talking about a lackadaisical, careless attitude when it comes to sin. Don't presume upon God's grace. That is a dangerous practice. But what I'm saying is, when we seek Him, when we desire to love Him and obey Him, we need to relish His mercy toward us in our weakness. We need to be reminded of His everlasting kindness to us. And that because of Christ, He doesn't deal with us as our sin deserves, but according to His mercy and grace. None of us wants what we deserve. When you're hurting, you say things like, I don't deserve this. Well, we deserve far worse. It is His grace, it is His kindness toward us that we experience any mercy. But as the people of God, we're not just going to have a taste of it here and there. We're assured of His mercy and grace in Christ. And so every day I need a reminder of that. Every day I need to speak the gospel. That's why we read the scripture daily. That's why we pray, is to fill our minds with the truth of God to counteract that natural tendency to dwell in and to mope in and wallow in our sin. Third, believers must rejoice daily in God's sovereign reign and His glorious person. Every day, reminding ourselves who's in charge. Look, beginning at verse 19. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. The Lord is established. That means He's fixed. He has settled His throne in the heavens. And therefore, He rules over all. Do you remember that great chapter in Isaiah 6, that great scene when the king died? 40 years he's been their king. And he dies under a cloud. He dies with leprosy, which is a sign of the judgment of God. And the nation is mourning, and the nation is confused, and the nation is fearful. The only leader they've known is dead, and he's dead because of the judgment of God. And they're wondering, what do we do now? And Isaiah went to the temple, and he saw a vision of the Lord high and exalted. He saw this vision of God on His throne and His robe filling the temple. The length of a ruler's robe reflects the extent of His reign, His power, His authority. And he says, this one that I saw, his robe, the train of His robe, filled the temple. And the word that's used doesn't mean it just was there big. It means it was layered and folded over and layered and folded over and layered until it filled the entire temple. In other words, there's no end to His power and authority. And he said, I saw Him seated. It means He's not worried. It means He's not thrown. He isn't pacing back and forth. He isn't wondering, okay, how am we going to handle this? Where are we on this? He's not calling in information from around the globe. How are we going to respond to this? How are we going to manage this crisis? He's firmly seated on His throne. Then John, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later, receives a vision of heaven, and what did he see? He saw a throne fixed, settled in heaven, and there was one seated on that throne. Every time we're given a glimpse into glory, God is seated, meaning He's in full power, He's in full control of everything. And there are times when you need to be reminded He's on His throne. When the doctor says, yes, it is malignant, what you need to hear is God's still on His throne. When the boss calls you in and says, here's your severance and we're laying off, you need to hear God's still on His throne. When you're being maligned and criticized by people around you, you need to know God is still on His throne every day. And I tell you right now, particularly where we are right now, a week away from an election, that I need to be reminded God's on His throne. And guess what? He's going to be on His throne all week, and He's still going to be there Wednesday morning and forever. regardless of what happens here, regardless of what happens in the election, God is still on his throne and he still rules over all. And I need to be reminded of that daily. You need to be reminded of it daily. It's one thing to say it. It's one thing to say, well, that's what the scripture says. It's another thing to live in the reality of that. Again, it doesn't mean we don't care. It doesn't mean that, say, I'm washing my hands of this and I'm just going, whatever, que sera, sera, whatever will be. I'm not. It's a trust. It is a reliance. It is a hope. It is a confidence. I do what I believe the Lord wants me to do, and I'll vote as I believe the Lord wants me to vote, but the world isn't hinging on my vote. God is on his throne and his will be accomplished regardless of the vote. That's the announcement of the psalmist. That's the consistent testimony of the scripture. And it's one of those things you and I need to be reminded of daily. God is on his throne. It is established in the heavens and his kingdom rules over all. All that acknowledge him and all that do not. All who walk in agreement with him and those who stand opposed to him. He rules over all. That's our hope. That's our confidence as the people of God. And then beginning with verse 20, he calls on all of the redeemed and all of creation to join him in praise. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones, who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. God is so great, he calls on all of creation to join him, the angels, the heavenly host, and all of creation itself. And then he ends right where he began, bless the Lord, O my soul. Life is difficult. Heartache and disappointment abound. It's best confronted with a healthy dose of the gospel. So my encouragement to you is to preach the gospel to yourself daily. In times of frustration, difficulty, and defeat, daily remind yourself of the goodness and grace of God. Remember, he has forgiven your sin and has made gracious provision. Remember that he is great in mercy, and he is sovereign over all things.
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.